Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
The man was sitting in a bar drinking quietly by himself, and three loud guys come in. They sit beside him, and they were just kind of the bully kind, and one of them sitting next to him tells a joke, and the quiet guy just, he doesn't even laugh, doesn't respond, and the guy elbows him. He said, "Hey, you didn't think that was funny?" And the guy looked at him and said, "No." And it made this bully mad, and he gets off the bar stool. He said, "I'm going to go international on you," and he hit him with the side of the neck. He said, "That was the karate chop from China." And then he grabbed his arm and he pulled it behind him. He said, "That's a jiu-jitsu arm bar from Brazil." And then he takes him right off the bench, bar stool, and throws him over his hip, throws him on the floor and said, "And that was a judo throw from Japan." And the guy gets up, doesn't say anything, just kind of brushes himself off and leaves the bar to a sound of laughter as the three guys just thinking that was so funny. The quiet guy's back in about 30 minutes, comes up behind the bully, knocks him in the head, knocks him smooth out on the floor. The guy's out. When his friends look up, he said, "Tell him when he wakes up, I just went American on him. That's a 2x4 from Home Depot." Say, does that somehow tie into your message, Alan? No, no, no. It is scriptural, though. The Bible said a merry heart does good like a medicine, so we take our medicine here. I want to talk this morning about something that I dare say all of us haven't dealt with in a time, or maybe you're dealing with it right now. And I want to talk about the subject of discouragement, answers for discouragement. Discouragement means that maybe you're despairing because you're facing a difficult situation and adversity you never planned on. Maybe it's a loss of hope or a loss of courage, discouragement. And it has a sting to it. Some people are discouraged because they're in a situation that just doesn't seem like it has an end to it. Can't see the finish line. Can't see what's up ahead. You just feel like you're on and on, and that'll take the hope right out of you. Or maybe you're dealing with something that just happened unexpectedly, the surprise thing. Maybe the loss of a job or a relationship dissolved, or you didn't get a promotion you knew it was coming, or something just happened and it wasn't good. And it was despairing, it was discouraging. And you're dealing with that discouragement. I'll tell you, there's an area of discouragement maybe we don't talk about enough. It's the feeling that you are alone and isolated and no one sees and no one cares. The last attorney general we had was real big on looking at loneliness in America, not simply as a problem, but as a health crisis. I've done studies that have linked loneliness to cardiovascular disease, to depression, to anxiety, to stroke, and to premature death. Loneliness. And you think, well, that's kind of an old person problem. Not really. The studies they showed says that 79% of young adults between 18 and 24 have talked about feeling lonely, as compared to only 41% of those 66 and over. And so it's not something that's just determined by age, but there is, and I wonder how much our social media and things have separated us to the point where even our young ones feel lonely. And what this Surgeon General said was, instead of focusing on ourselves, that we need to focus on deepening our relationships through service and community. And I thought, thank you, U.S. General Surgeon, for preaching my sermon, that deepening relationships, especially our relationship with the Lord, and the service that we can have in His kingdom, and the community that we have here, even though we're not a community, we're a big family. And so there's answers for that. But as a believer, we have options for discouragement. Look what Jesus said. He said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. believe in God, believe also in me. Don't let your heart be troubled. We could easily say, don't let your heart be discouraged. Believe in God. We believe in a God who's big enough to shine light on our situation. Who's big enough to do something about our situation. We believe in a big God. We believe in Jesus, who understands the human condition, who came as a man, who felt the feelings we feel, who dealt with the problems we deal with, and he overcame every one of them, but he understands us. We believe in him. And what we've determined is that Christianity is not some philosophy of life. It is not some religious structure for how to live. It is a living, loving relationship with a living, loving person who's the greatest in the universe. And that's Jesus Christ. And that makes all the difference in the world. My grandmother, one of the grandchildren named her Big Mama. That's what I called her. She was 5 foot nothing. She was a tough woman. She was the kind of woman that could go bear hunting with a switch. She was tough. She worked the mills in Columbus, Georgia. If you know anything about the South, for years, cotton mills were a big deal. And they employed her, and she worked these hard shifts. In fact, she was missing a digit on her thumb and on her finger that she lost in mill equipment. Her husband abandoned her in the 30s. She had four children, single mom, four children in the South in the 30s. And my mother said one of the things that she remembers my grandmother, Big Mama, doing was ironing. She loved to iron. Woman could take the wrinkles out of anything. And she would iron, but she would iron and she would sing. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend as kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. That song meant a lot to a single mother. But the song meant a lot to the man who wrote it. It was written by a man named Charles Weagle. He was an evangelist. And Charles came home one day after traveling and preaching and found out that his wife had left him a note and abandoned him. She left him. And it just sent Charles into a deep, dark place. And he felt like his ministry was gone. He felt like no one would ever love him or care for him again. And he got to the place where he even thought about taking his own life. That's discouragement. But somehow he began to reach out to the Lord, and somehow the Lord helped him. He began to preach again. He began to sing again. He became so overwhelmed with how good God was. He sat down at his piano one day and he wrote those words, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." He said the words, the music, everything came to him in 20 minutes. And it became a song that spoke to people in the Depression. It was written in 1932. It spoke to people in Depression. And in fact, years later, Billy Graham would use it in his crusades. No one ever cared. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. Knowing that there's someone who cares. Knowing that there's someone we have a relationship. Knowing that he cares for us like nobody else. It's an answer for discouragement. Discouragement hits. It hits on people. It even hits on the strong. I want to show you a story in the Bible about a man that's probably considered one of the strongest people in the New Testament. He was a bold man. He wore camel skin clothes and leather belt. He ate locust and wild honey. That's what he ate. He lived out in the wilderness. It was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a bold preacher. He showed up before Jesus. He was the one who was the precursor to Jesus. They were born just months apart. And John the Baptist shows up, and man, he is calling out Israel. He's calling them to repentance. He calls out all the religious people. Man, he had a strong message. He was a strong man, and yet he wound up discouraged. Let's read his story. Now when John the Baptist, heard in prison what the Christ was doing, he sent a message through his disciples and asked him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus replied to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are told the good news, and blessed is the one who isn't offended by me." John wound up in prison. Those prisons back then, they weren't They weren't clean. They weren't sanitary. They were dark places. He was literally in a dark place. And in that dark place, John got discouraged. Because when he sent these disciples to Jesus, he asked a question. He said, "Are you the one who's to come?" In other words, he was asking Jesus, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the answer that we're looking for? Is that you? Or do we look for someone else?" And really what it boiled down to was John was offended. Offended, he's hurt, miffed that Jesus had not gotten him out of prison. And the thought was that Jesus didn't care. But here's the problem. John knew better. John had a revelation of Jesus that nobody else had. John saw things that happened with Jesus that nobody else saw. I just want to show you in the book of John, this is the Gospel of John. This is what happened just a couple years before this. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I told you about. After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me, and I didn't know him, but I came baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove." Remember when Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. John saw the Holy Spirit descending on him, and he rested on him. "I didn't know him, but he who sent me to baptize, God, with water, told me, 'The one you see the Spirit descending and resting on, he's the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, and I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" This man had a revelation. He had a revelation nobody else had. He saw Jesus coming. He said, "Look, there's the Lamb of God." The Jews were known for taking lambs and offering lambs as sacrifices for their sins. But John had a revelation that Jesus would be God's sacrifice for the sins of mankind. He said, "There's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He saw the Holy Spirit land on him, and he said, "This is it. He's the Son of God." And yet he's asking Jesus later on, "Are you the one who's supposed to come, or do we look for someone else?" Which tells us something about discouragement, that you can lose in the dark what you've already seen in the light. He'd seen something in the light, but when discouragement sets in and you lose hope and you lose courage, you begin to question everything. John began to question it, and Jesus told him, he said, "Blessed is he who's not offended because of me." You see, John had a ministry that at one time, John was the most popular individual in Israel. People were coming to him all over the nation. People were wondering if he was the Messiah. I mean, the religious leaders, the poor, the tax collectors, everybody was coming to John. He was baptizing them. His ministry was cooking. But his ministry began to take a decline when Jesus showed up. And John even knew it. He said, "He must increase and I must decrease." Let me tell you something. I don't care who you are, it's hard to take a back seat. If you don't think so, ask someone who's retired, who used to run the show, and now he doesn't run the show anymore. That's not easy. John was human. And John got off his mission. See, John's mission was to point Israel to Jesus. Really, John shouldn't even have any disciples now. I mean, the Son of God has come. He should have looked at all his disciples and said, "Look, y'all, it's been good, but that's the guy you need to follow right there." But John got off his mission. And he told King Herod, who was the king over Galilee, he told him, he said, "You know, it's not right for you to marry your brother Philip's wife." He might have, maybe, this sounded like a bad movie. But evidently Herod stole his brother Philip's wife. Her name was Herodias, and she was a mean woman. Do not mess with mean women. Because she was the one that had John thrown in prison. And she was the one that eventually had him killed. But the bottom line is, John should have been pointing people to Jesus. Now he's telling everyone how to live. Hey, listen, guys, cautionary tale for the Church of Jesus Christ. We are here to point people to the answer, not to point people to everything that they're doing wrong. That's our job. Listen, I know some people believe, well, you need to get your life cleaned up. No, I got a better idea. Why don't you come to Christ and let him clean your life up instead of me trying to tell you how to do it ahead of time? We catch them, he cleans them. Jesus answered John. He didn't get mad at John. He didn't go, oh, dear Lord, John, bless your heart. He didn't bless his heart. He answered him with scripture. Now, he's talking about miracles, blind seeing, deaf hearing, lame walking. All those were miracles that Jesus was doing. But what Jesus was actually doing was pointing John to the scriptures that John knew. They were the prophetic scriptures in Isaiah. In Isaiah 35, 5 and 6, it said the deaf will hear and the blind will see and the lame will walk. And so what Jesus is telling John is, John, I'm the fulfillment of scripture. Yes, I am the one. I'm fulfilling scripture, John. And then he told him, John, don't be offended because of me. You see, it wasn't Jesus' calling to bust John out of prison. That's not what he's called to do. He's called to reach Israel. He's called to preach the gospel. And here's another thing. It wasn't Jesus' fault that John was there. So Jesus is warning him, hey, don't get offended. So when you get discouraged, it's easy to start blaming. So how do we answer discouragement? Maybe you're a strong personality and you're like, man, I just can't even believe I got discouraged. Listen, if it can happen to John the Baptist, it can happen to you. If it happened to strong people, listen, we're human, we deal with it, but here's the beautiful thing is, thank God we don't have to live in it. It may come your way, it doesn't have to live in your house. So here's the first thing we need to understand. You are not alone. You're not in this alone. You're not in this world alone. Because if you believe that you're by yourself, if you believe that no one cares and no one sees, it makes everything worse. Have you ever been discouraged? And I've done this before, and Joy's trying to talk to me about something, and I'm telling her, you just don't understand. I know I'm the only one who's ever said that. So just bear with me while we go through a therapy session here. But you get that. Well, listen, when you're discouraged, you don't think anybody understands. You don't think anybody cares. And that if you think that way, it even gets worse. But we can believe something different. We can believe that we have a relationship with a personal Savior who sees, who cares, who knows, and we're not alone. So, well, how am I going to believe that, Alan? Glad you asked. Here's Galatians. This is Paul writing. Paul said this. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Did you catch that? I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, we have to believe that Jesus loves us. He gave himself for us. He cares about us. He sees what we're dealing with. Say, well, I just don't feel like it. Listen, you have got to come to the place where faith is over feelings. Faith is over feelings. Love is over selfishness. And here's one. God's truth is over your experience. We live with something higher. And so we live with it, live by faith. That God sees. I'm not in this alone. Jesus cares for me. He sees me. The Indians up in the north, not the northeast, but in the Great Lake areas used to have one of the tribes there had a ceremony, a ritual, where they would take a young man who was a brave. And he was about 13 years old, and by his right into manhood, they would take him out, and they would blindfold him, march him way into the woods in the middle of the night, leave him there by himself, and walk away. He's sitting, can you imagine, you're 13 years old, you don't know if you're in enemy territory or not. You're sitting there on the log, and you hear a twig snap, and you wonder, is that an enemy coming for me? You hear a wolf howl, and you're like, are there wolves around here? It's probably a scary night. And in the morning, it's the, thank God, the dawn starts to come. You're starting to feel better. You look over to about 30 feet away from you. You see the figure of a man. You're like, oh, and it scares you because he's fully armed. But as the light begins to dawn even more, you realize it's your father, and he's been there the whole time. fully armed, ready to step in case you needed him. I wonder how different it would have been if the Father had whispered to the Son, "Don't you worry about a thing. You won't see me, you won't feel me, but I'm there." Would that have made a difference? You'd have thought, you heard a twig snap, you thought, "Enemy," but you thought, "Dad's here." You hear a wolf howl and you go, "Who? There's a wolf." You go, "But my Father's here." Would it have made a difference in that young man if he knew the whole time he's in the dark, even though he couldn't see him, even though he couldn't feel him, he knew his Father was going to be there because he trusted his Father's word? How much more can we understand that even though we can't see, even though we can't feel, God is with us, Jesus sees us, he knows what's going on. And we're going to be okay. We're not in this alone. Here's the second one. Answer for discouragement is, let the Lord speak to you. So you say, should I listen for a voice, Alan? Don't do that. Don't listen for a voice. Often it comes just in the whispers of your heart. The Holy Spirit can speak to you in the whispers of your heart. About 20-some years ago, we had a lot of turmoil here at the church. We were just building the church. Things were going. People were leaving. Key staff members had left. And man, I'm feeling it. I'm driving up 45. I can tell you, I was crossing the river. And the Lord whispered to my heart, "I haven't left." I'm like, okay, all right. Because everybody else can leave, but if God's here, we're going to be okay. Amen. And thank God he's still here, and we're still okay. But he whispered that to my heart, and in the middle of a discouraging time, I felt that. But you say, "Well, Alan, I don't know if I trust, you know, myself, that the Lord can speak to me." Okay, I'm going to give you the surefire way. Let him speak to you in his word. Amen. Let him, listen, you say, "Well, where do I start?" Well, we got a great plan. We got a Bible 365. In fact, everybody here at the Ark reads Bible 365. It's a great plan. We've got that plan. All the people wooing are the people that come on Wednesday night. They don't amen, they just woo. But we've got that going on. And so we can pick up scriptures and begin to read them. Let me tell you something. When you're going through a hard time, I suggest Psalms 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And you're taking that, and you're taking those verses, and you're allowing them to speak to you. You want to hear God speaking? Right here. Let him talk to you. And not only he can do that, but he'll take a verse and have it stand out to you, and you realize, "And that's a personal word to me." The psalmist wrote this in Psalms 119. He said, "Remember your word to your servant. You have given me hope through it. This is my comfort in my affliction. Your promise has given me life." Man, I tell you, it's when you're in the dark of discouragement, you need some light. You need some light to come. Listen, this is not the time to watch The Notebook. If you're discouraged and down, you're watching The Notebook going, "Oh my gosh, oh, I'm going to cry." Don't do it. Just don't do it. This is better than The Notebook. Yes, this will help you. This will put hope in you. This will put life in you. This will strengthen you. And it'll make such a difference in your life. So that's an answer. Let God speak to you. Let him talk to you. So I don't know where to start. Listen, we got a Bible plan. It's simple. It's easy. You can do this. You say, "Well, do I need to start at the beginning of the year?" No, no, no. Start now. It's never too late. You can jump in. Here's the last one. Don't get offended at Jesus. Yeah, I got quiet in first service too. Here, I'm gonna say a couple things, but I want you to hear me. I love you. I want to help you. Whatever you're going through that's discouraging is not his fault. And if you'll just buy into that truth, it will help you. Because when you get offended, you disconnect from the one who loves you, who cares for you, who sees what's going on, and who can help you. Say, "Well, I don't know. I'm mad at the Lord." That's not a good idea. He's the one that can help you. And listen, I dare say almost all of us, I've done it. A number of years ago, I had a problem with my eye. Many of you remember that. My eye was, it was a pressure behind the eye. It was causing my eye to bulge. And it was very, it didn't look good. It was very disfiguring. It was embarrassing. And I remember, I said something. I just spoke out something. And I'm married to a woman who does not play around. People say, who keeps you in line? I'm like, have you ever seen my wife? Are you serious? Joy looks at me after I just spoke that out. She said, you're offended at the Lord. And I said, what any good husband would say, nuh-uh. When you're at nuh-uh, you're in trouble. You just might as well say yes. And I realized something, that things hadn't turned out exactly like I wanted to, and I got offended at the Lord, and I had to make the adjustment. Listen to me. Not every situation in your life is going to turn out exactly like you want it. Not every situation, especially when it deals with other people. I hear people say things all the time like, oh God, make them love me. Oh God, make them stay, make them repent, make them change, make them do this. Listen, not every situation in life is going to turn out exactly like you like it. But if you will trust Him, He will help you in every situation. Look at this. Paul was writing, he said, I know how to make do with little, I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I've learned the secret of being content. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or need, I'm able to do all things through Him who strengthens me. What's Paul saying is, he's saying, look, I've gone through hard times. I've gone through abundant times. Listen, I don't know about you. I would rather be in abundance than be in hard times. But what Paul is saying is, whether I'm in good times, whether I'm in bad times, I've learned the secret. I can be content. I don't have to be discouraged. I know this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He will strengthen me to go through whatever I'm going through. And if He is strengthening me, it may not get fixed exactly like I like it, but I'm coming through and He'll help me. 2012, they ran the London Marathon on a beautiful day. 37,000 people ran. Two ladies ran. They were friends, Simone Clark and Tally Hall. They'd been training together because Simone Clark had epilepsy. Sometimes she would have as many as 4 seizures a day, but she wanted to run that marathon, and Tally Hall agreed to run with her. Gorgeous day. They take off. First 7 miles, everything is great. About mile number 8, Simone Clark had a seizure. And when she had a seizure, she went unconscious, fell to the ground, and Tally caught her, lowered her to the ground, and then stood by her and protected her from the other runners. In about 30 seconds, she woke up. And Tally Hall helped her get up, and they ran again. In the next, how many miles? It's 26 miles. That's 15, 18 miles. She had 19 more seizures. Every time she would go unconscious, every time she would fall to the ground. Every time Tally Hall would lower to the ground, and when she woke up and protected her so no one would hit her and then helped her get up. And Simone said this. She said, after 15 miles, I thought, she's crying. She's upset. She said, this is not how she planned. She was way off the pace. And then she just said, stuff it. That's what she said. I'm going to finish this. And she finished it. It took her 6.5 hours, but she finished it. But she would have never finished it if she had not had Tally Hall running with her, helping her, strengthening her when she fell. Listen, we're in the same situation. We're running the race of life. We've got situations that happen that aren't exactly like we like, things that happen that don't turn out just exactly, and they can be discouraging. But thank God we're not running alone. We got somebody running with us who will help us, who will strengthen us, who will lift us, who will get us to the end of the line. And when we finish, it may take us a while, but bless God, we will get it done. Amen. And we can stand before Him one day and have Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And everything will be worth it then. Would you bow your head for a moment? Please, no one leaving will be out of here in just a moment. But if you came today and said, you know what, Alan, I don't know if I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, or I used to have a relationship with Him, and life happened. I walked away. Maybe you got discouraged. Maybe you gave up on God. Maybe you walked away. He's never given up on you. So his heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to say a prayer. We're not going to have you stand up. We're not going to have you come to the front. If you're watching online, on television, listen, this is for you as well. But this morning, if you're saying, you know what, Alan, I'm not sure where I stand with the Lord, but I want to be. I want that connection, or I need to reconnect. Would you pray for me? We're going to do that, but I'm going to get you to do one thing. Would you just slip your hand up real quick right now and just say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? I don't know. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Anybody else say, that's me? Would you pray for me? Thank you. Saw hands go up all over. Anybody else? Thank you for your courage. Yeah, way in the back. I got you. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Now, if you're online and can't see you, or maybe you're here today and you thought, I really wanted to lift my hand. Okay, I get it. But listen, this is the heart prayer. We're going to lead you in it. You can just follow along. It's a heart prayer. God sees hands. He sees hearts. You pray this with. We're going to pray with you. If you're online and you're by yourself, pray it out loud by yourself. If you're with others, pray it quietly. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. No, head still bowed. Father, thank you for every one of those people that pray here online who prayed that prayer, for those who've come to you for the very first time out of spiritual darkness into the spiritual light, and for those who have reconnected. And Lord, we rejoice with them. You got great things for them. You love them. You care for them. And we know that. And Father, for the rest of us, thank you. We're not in this alone. We have you. You are not the fault. You are our answer. And we trust you for that. Thank you for working in our lives. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.